It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for listening today. You know, before we start our nutrition discussion, I just want to read a letter that I received last week from a client. And the letter starts, you know, last January, when I had my first appointment with you, I was taking three medications for diabetes, two medications for high blood sugar, or high blood pressure, one medication for high cholesterol, two meds for depression, one medication for sleep. My body ached all over. I couldn't get motivated even to clean my house. I was 50 pounds overweight and gaining weight each month. I was following a low-fat diet and still gaining weight. I skipped meals to keep the calorie count down, but it wasn't working. Well, you know, my health is much better today. You changed my diet, took me off the low-fat diet, explained the importance of eating healthy fat to keep my blood sugar balanced and to increase my metabolism, took away the breads, the cereals, the pastas, and taught me how to eat real food. You know, I have shocked my medical doctor because of my normal blood sugar. I am off two diabetic medications, and I only need a small amount of metformin now. My blood pressure normalized, so I no longer need blood pressure meds. My cholesterol medication was discontinued because I no longer needed it. I'm off my sleep meds and sleeping great. I've lost 35 pounds and feel better than I have felt for years. I have no aches and pains. My head is clear. And oh yes, my constant diarrhea thankfully disappeared. I just want to say thank you. I plan to be medication free in another few months. I have my life back and my house is clean again. Hey, P.S., remember when I stopped one diabetic medication, my blood sugar actually tested 35 points lower, and it stayed down. You know, I was puzzled, and you were puzzled. But I'm thankful I don't have that medication now. So I'll see you next week for my appointment. You know, as nutritionists, we see results like this daily, and we plan actually to get results like this. And I'm pleased to welcome another nutritionist to our show. This is our co-host, Christina Swigert. Christina is a licensed nutritionist, and she has many years' experience now, even though she's very young. And she's a regular co-host of Dishing Up Nutrition, so it's nice to have you here today.
Thank you, Dar. It's nice to be here. And my husband and I just actually got back from a wonderful vacation.
Lucky
so I'm
you.
A bit refreshed from the sunny Cancun, or as my daughter says, the Cancuns. And it was so great, such a blessing. Our parents were able to watch our kids for us for 10 days, which I know people don't always have. So we're very grateful for the blessing of our families. And, you know, it's interesting. And even when you travel as a nutritionist, I still can pick up on just the lack of understanding usually about food and real nutrition when you just hear conversations between people or see what they're buying anywhere around the world, really.
And it's just kind of amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
How the lack of understanding. You know, I saw that last Wednesday night when I was teaching a class. I was teaching my nutrition and sobriety class, and I'm still surprised at the kind of the lack of understanding, because people in their 20s and 30s and 40s, they still believe that eggs and butter are bad.
Mm-hmm. I heard that one last week.
But cereal, which is just sugar, basically, it's good. And so anything that's got fat in it is bad. And they keep asking that question over and over in classes, don't they?
They do. Yeah. And today we're talking about diabetes, and people with the disease of diabetes not only have to combat and control their sugar cravings, but they need to weed out all the misconceptions and, unfortunately, the inaccurate nutrition information that they're receiving that really doesn't have very good support of good research.
Right. You know, I think a lot of the listeners know that I come from a family with my genetics would be to have to be diabetic by this by my age for sure, and probably to have heart disease.
Right.
And I'm not because of my food choices, and I really don't have any of these problems. And because of my genetic predisposition, though, I really researched this disease of diabetes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that with correct food, you know, the food choices you make, you know, really can keep your blood sugar more normal and stable. So, but I know that I'm not the only one at Nutritional Weight and Wellness that has this personal interest in diabetes because they're their own family risk factors.
Right. So today we actually brought another person with us. We asked Anna Durhock, who is just completing her master's degree in nutrition, and she actually had a grandfather with diabetes. So we invited her to join in on this discussion with us.
So welcome, Anna. You are a very busy lady. You have a 17-month-old and soon another baby to be here. You know, you teach classes. You came rushing over here because you were saw a client today, a couple of clients, actually. And but I think the big thing is you eat to keep your blood sugar stable, don't you?
Yes, I do. It's probably the biggest thing I used to struggle with. And I think it's so important just because of my family history. My grandpa has had type 2 for almost 30 years now. And I've seen his health deteriorate because of it. And it's just a nasty disease. So, but, you know, with my understanding of nutrition and the classes I've taken and I'm just working with you and Christina, Dar, it's really helped me understand how to stay away from all the nasty junk. And
so what kind of nasty junks do you think? What are we talking about?
We're talking about chips.
Chips.
Diet soda, regular soda, big bowls of cereal and popcorn.
So, you know, we always call these high sugar foods, don't we?
Right. Yes, we do. And it's also important, I think, for you, too, knowing your family history is just avoiding the gestational diabetes as well.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, and nutrition in pregnancy is probably one of the most important things that women need to look at when they are pregnant. I mean, it's the best time to clean up your diet.
Right.
So you kind of, when you're eating, Anna, you kind of stay away from those processed carbohydrates. Look, what did you eat just before you went on air today?
I ate a huge salad with tomatoes and chicken and a wonderful vinaigrette. So, again.
And it's, again, to balance your blood sugar.
To balance my blood sugar, that's right.
So how about you didn't grab a candy bar on the way over?
Nope. Even though I was hungry, I resisted.
And you didn't stop at the bakery for a muffin?
No, I didn't.
And, you know, I think kind of tell the people why you're not really doing that. You know, because you're pregnant. Mm-hmm. Why are you not eating those high sugar foods?
Not only because they're high in sugar and they cause a weight gain like crazy, but they also usually contain nasty trans fats and refined oils that damage, you know, the baby inside and our cells.
Mm-hmm. So you're eating to have a healthy baby.
That's right.
Which I think a lot of times people don't make that connection. And, you know, there are a lot of risks that sometimes I think people don't realize when they get gestational diabetes. It is something that you can definitely get control of. But some of the common things that occur is that oftentimes when the mom is running these high blood sugars and the high insulin, the baby's born with excess insulin, which then results in a blood sugar crash once they are born, which sometimes can result in brain damage.
Yeah, that really sounds pretty scary, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes.
And I know, I mean, I've had nurses that work that prenatal or natal, whatever they call that,
neonatal.
And they say this happens quite frequently when mothers have had gestational diabetes.
Right. Yeah. A lot of times the babies are very large babies because they are storing this fat. And it does, it causes them to have additional fat cells, and they definitely have a higher risk of obesity later on in life when their mom had gestational diabetes.
So maybe some of these people that are walking around with insulin resistance and obesity now, I bet if they went back to see how their mother's blood sugar was during their time that they were being a fetus, there might be a connection.
Right.
So they can quit blaming themselves, maybe.
Right.
And I think another thing that happens is that a lot of babies are very, very large at this point, aren't
they? Right. Yep, they are.
You know, and it seems like we've got babies that are very small.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the other end, we've got babies being born that are very large.
Right.
And not all those are from mothers that are having gestational diabetes, but there is that risk factor for sure. Risk,
yeah. Right. And no woman wants a huge to have to deliver a huge baby. So that alone might be a good motivation
to give up that soda.
Right.
So, you know, Anna, as you kind of, you know, when you're thinking about this and you're thinking about a baby inside you, you know, doesn't it kind of, you know, it must change your behavior.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think for any mother, even who doesn't seriously know how to eat well, she's always trying to make a conscious effort, even though if she doesn't have the right information. So that's why we're here, to give them the right information.
So if you were thinking of some things that probably people should eliminate if they're pregnant, what's some of the obvious things?
Cereal. Biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even a lot of the breads that they're eating, and they think they're, you know, nice and high in fiber, but they still have a ton of high fructose corn syrup, which is, you know, it's one of the number one risk factors for gestational and, you know, type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Pop.
Yeah.
Huge. Juice
yeah.
has just as much sugar as pop.
Right.
So.
Right.
So those are huge things.
Right. And you and some other people from Nutritional Weight and Wellness were actually helping people understand this biochemistry at the airport last week. And I was actually able to stop and say hi when I got off the plane. And they were at the Northwest Airlines Health Fair, and just really helping people understand how much sugar is in some of the foods that people eat on a daily basis. So I think we actually have to take a break. Maybe when we come back, you can share with us some of the interesting things you were sharing with those people.
Yep, it's time for a break. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. And if you have questions for us today, and any kind of question, whether it's about diabetes or some other nutritional question, just give us a call at 651-641-1071, and we'll be right back.
Does your nutrition knowledge come from the back of a cereal box? If it does, that may explain why you aren't getting the health results you seek. More people are struggling with metabolism, fatigue, pain, diabetes, heart disease, and cancer than ever before. If you haven't made the connection between what you eat and your health risks, it's time you do. Where do you start? With nutrition education that explains how to eat real, whole foods in balance for better health today and tomorrow. Nutritional Weight and Wellness teaches sound, research-based nutrition in a fun, interactive style. Want to balance your moods? Increase focus and energy? Attend Balanced Food for balanced moods. Seeking relief for achy joints and sore muscles? Try foods to reduce pain and inflammation. They have another popular class called Jumpstart Your Metabolism. Classes are offered in community ed programs throughout the metro area. Nutritional Weight and Wellness also teaches more in-depth classes and the signature Weight and Wellness series at their offices in St. Paul, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake. For more information, call 651-699-3438 or log on to weightandwellness.com.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition, and today we are talking about diabetes. And it's interesting, sugar consumption has increased dramatically from the 1920s. The average person in 1920 was about 110 pounds. In 1975, Americans consumed an average of 124 pounds of, consumed an average of 124 pounds. By the year 2005, it was 153 pounds. High fructose corn syrup contributed virtually to every ounce of the increase.
So we're eating more and more corn syrup sweetener.
Right.
And basically. Yes. So we got lots of callers, so let's take a couple. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the show. You have a question for us today?
Yes, I do. I called in regard to the purity of vitamins and supplements. You had a guest on there one day that said that there is some kind of a code that you're supposed to watch for on the bottles.
Oh, sure. That was Greg Peterson. Christina, you can answer this one.
Right. The thing that he talks about a lot is you can look for a little stamp that actually is three capital letters, GMP, which stands for Good Manufacturing Practices.
Okay, that's what I need. But it's ironic that you're doing a show on diabetes, because I was just recently diagnosed with diabetes.
Okay.
I live up in the Cambridge, Princeton area. Do you have any community education classes up around this area that I could attend?
We do. We certainly have one coming up in Osseo. Is that?
That would be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Anna actually is teaching a class coming up. It's called Jumpstart Your Metabolism. But that certainly is going to, we're going to be talking about blood sugar control and that. So, Christina, do you have one we're teaching our diabetes class?
Yeah, we do have a diabetes class. It's on a Saturday in Roseville, so I don't know if a Saturday would make it easier, but it's called Managing Insulin Resistance and Blood Sugar. It's on Saturday, November 17th from 10 a.m. to noon at the Roseville Community Center. And you can always get the information from our website, which is weightandwellness.com.
I can do that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Good. Thank you, Pat. Actually, we are looking at probably starting in January, teaching more classes more north in that Anoka area. So we'll be okay. We have another caller. Let's. It's Deanne. Is that right?
Dina. Yes.
Dina. Hi, Dina.
Hi. Hi, gals. I have a question for you. I'm calling in for my sister who is out of the listening area, but she's a senior in college. She's a 21-year-old, and she dealt with bulimia during her high school times. And she has gotten that under control, but probably the past 6 to 8 months she has went on a strictly vegan diet.
Mm-hmm.
Cutting out all those dairy and meats and things like that. And she has really noticed that her hair has been falling out.
Right. That makes a lot of sense because you need protein to make your hair grow. And when you cut all that out, you start to lose your hair. You'll lose your nails. And, I mean, all this breaks down. But basically, she's also her neurotransmitter. So she'll probably start getting a little depression because she's no longer making her neurotransmitters, and you need animal protein to make your neurotransmitters.
Okay.
So it's not a good solution for somebody to move into that, especially with her history of being bulimic and knowing that she has that addiction kind of personality chemistry. So she needs a more supportive way of eating if she's going to, do well, basically.
Right. One of the things that she's really, why she decided to try a vegan diet is that along with her bulimia, she doesn't like that feeling of being, very full and, drinking 2-3 glasses of milk does that or eating a big steak or anything like that. So what are some things that she can start adding back into her diet to help her, but maybe not go overboard, so to speak?
Well, I think maybe just a little bit of like chicken and vegetables or fish, because fish is very easy to digest. So a little bit of fish and vegetables with a little bit of butter, and keeping the amount of food that she's eating at one time lower, not bringing in the dairy products because those are harder to digest. So those would be some ideas. And, really maybe really encouraging her to make an appointment with a nutritionist. And, if she comes back into town, having her see one of us or, somebody that can really guide her to help her feel better.
Okay. Sounds great. Well, that's good information. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for the call.
Yep.
Well, let's see here. Should we keep taking calls?
Sure.
All right. hi, Jane. Welcome to the show. You have a question for us? Jane?
Oh, hi. I'm
hi
sorry.
Okay.
I didn't know you were talking to me. yeah, I have a question regarding protein. I have a lot of trouble digesting it, so I tend to eat carbs, which I have no trouble. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions. I'm wanting to increase my protein intake.
Okay.
Do you have any suggestions?
Christina, will you just go ahead?
One thing that a lot of times for people who have a harder time with protein is that they're actually the acid in their stomach sometimes is low, so which seems kind of weird, but sometimes people take actually some hydrochloric acid and it helps them digest their protein better. And then sometimes, too, making sure that your intestines have enough good bacteria as well, because that bifidobacteria that we talk about a lot also helps you digest and absorb your proteins really well.
I think another thing that a lot of people wouldn't realize that a typical digestive enzyme often has just a little bit of hydrochloric acid in it.
Yep.
We have one at our office that's called OrthoDigest.
Mm-hmm.
We have another one that's called Acidozyme, and it has just a little bit of hydrochloric acid and then some other digestive enzymes,
right.
And that's a good way to get started.
And where else could I get if I wanted to get hydrochloric acid?
Oh, just go to any health food store, and they would have it.
Is
and it would be in
pill
with
form?
A digestive... Huh?
I'm sorry, is it pill form?
Yeah, it's a pill form. And one way to test this is to take about a teaspoon of vinegar in water and drink it at that time that you're eating the meat, and then you'll know, I think your digestion would be better, and that's basically what you're getting is is with the vinegar, you're getting a little more hydrochloric acid in that. So it's a little bit more acid, and it makes it easier to digest. That's a good way to test it anyway.
Right.
Now, people don't like to keep doing that, but it gets you the same results as taking a pill.
Great. Thanks for the suggestion.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for the call. So, right. You know what? We were really, Anna, we were going to talk a little bit about some of the things that you guys shared when you were out at the Northwest Airline Health Fair. Because I think this is really good information.
It is. It's great. It was a wonderful success, and I'm hoping that we can do it again next year. But I was there with Cassie, and we got a lot of good responses. But we talked about a couple different samples that high sugar foods, and so I'm just going to share with you what they were. One was a caribou coffee granola bar.
Well, that has to be healthy.
Yeah.
Of course.
Granola.
One serving, or you know, one bar has 7 teaspoons of sugar.
Okay.
So then we looked at a Starbucks Frappuccino drink, and that has 9 teaspoons of sugar.
You mean that stuff that comes in a bottle?
Yep, that you can get at, like, you know, Super America or,
okay.
You know.
And it's only how big?
And it's 9.5 ounces.
Mm. Okay. So about the same as if you were drinking a Coke.
Yep.
Okay.
And then we also did a bottle of Coke, 20 ounces, and that was 16 teaspoons of sugar. But the crazy thing is that we did, we looked at Smart Start cereal, okay, the antioxidants one, and we did 2 cups of a serving because that's what most people eat, and that was 21 teaspoons of sugar, and that's without the milk.
Yeah, it's crazy.
21 teaspoons of sugar. And if you took took a bowl with a sugar bowl and measured that out. And that's what you were doing out there, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was nasty. See it. It was so gross.
But we get told that cereal is going to help lower our cholesterol,
yes.
Bring down our blood pressure. And I think if people think for themselves, it doesn't quite make sense that 21 teaspoons of sugar will do that for them.
That's right.
Right.
You know, newspaper headlines, TV news are frequently announcing, you know, just that the rate of diabetes is increasing every year. And type 2 diabetes used to be an old person's disease, but now more and more children really are starting to be diagnosed with type 2 diabetes.
You know, back in 1980s, I'll get to the right year here, in the 1980s, 5.6 million people were diabetic. And today, it is almost 16 million people. So that's 3 times more cases of diabetes than it was just, you know, a few years ago, really. It's, you know, I can remember the 1980s. I know you guys can, but I can't.
At least not that part of it.
Well, what's interesting, Dar, too, is that in the 1980s, the manufacturing methods of high fructose corn syrup actually improved, and so the price of it dropped, and that's why food companies basically switched from using sugar to high fructose corn syrup.
And it's interesting because the rate of diabetes actually mirrors the use of corn syrup sweeteners in foods, such as sodas, juice, processed foods. So as we increase the use of corn syrup sweeteners, we also contributed to this increase of diabetes and obesity, too.
So I think we're going to have to take a break here. And here's a little food for thought. You know, the meat industry fattens animals by giving them estrogens and antibiotics, and by feeding them a carbohydrate-rich diet, which is usually corn. So are we as people doing the same things to ourselves? Think about this. How about the popcorn that you ate last night? Do you think that could be a high-carbohydrate food that's fattening people up? So we'll take a break now.
If you're like me, you try to eat right, but the definition of healthy eating seems like a moving target. Should I eat low carb or low fat? The eggs and butter raise my cholesterol. Is coffee good after all? Don't rely on sound bites and infomercials for something as important as your health. You deserve recommendations based on biochemistry. Nutritional Weight and Wellness is offering FM 107 listeners a complimentary e-newsletter that is chock full of nutrition, information, and tips. The Weight and Wellness Way newsletter provides sound information and practical strategies from a nutritionist's perspective. Learn a natural approach to healthy eating based on real whole foods you buy at the grocery store. All this, and best of all, it's free. To subscribe to this complimentary Weight and Wellness Way e-newsletter, go to weightandwellness.com and enter your email address. Then watch your inbox every month for nutrition news and special offers that will help you look and feel your best. For information on other services at Nutritional Weight and Wellness, call 651-699-3438. Office is conveniently located in St. Paul, Wyzetta, and White Bear Lake.
Well, welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition, and here's an interesting piece of research. Paula Gieselman, a researcher at UCLA, found that when rabbits are fed sugar and salt, they eat faster, longer, and much more. And basically, the more sugar that they ate, the more they wanted. So after last week, something to think about for yourself. Could you stop with just one piece of Halloween candy?
So we have lots and lots of callers. Mm-hmm. So let's take this caller. Hi there. I think it's Diane. Hi, Diane. You have a question for us?
Yes, I do. I was taking a multivitamin, and then they changed the formula, and it's made me very sick to my stomach. I'm wondering, how important is a multivitamin, and can you suggest one?
Well, I think sometimes multivitamins are actually too strong for some people. They absolutely can't digest them. If you get your digestion in order, you know, then I think it can be beneficial. So, and I think sometimes you have to look at multivitamins. Some of them are very hard to digest. You always take a multivitamin with food. Never, ever take a multivitamin on an empty stomach. I find that sometimes having them in capsules make it easier for you to take. And a suggestion for a good multi, I think, depending on where you're buying them, but one of the, you know, if it's like a retail vitamin at a vitamin store, Source Naturals has a vitamin that's called Life Force. It's very good, and you can get it in a capsule. Usually a good multivitamin, you have to take more than one because they can't put everything in one pill usually. Some of our multivitamins, they actually recommend that you take 4 to 6 a day and spread them out through the day. So does that kind of answer your question? Or?
It does. I guess the only other question I would have to that is I eat really well. I've learned a lot from your show.
Thank you.
And that leads me to wondering if, in fact, then I would need to eat four. I mean, to have four of them a
maybe,
day.
Maybe you wouldn't then. No, I think you... Again, I think that's a great point. You've learned that a lot of times you don't need as much as somebody else that was not eating well.
All
right. I agree. I only take half of what is recommended for my multi. So.
Okay, great. Well, I will search out and find that Life Source then.
Okay, thank you very much. All right. So we're going to keep taking callers. We have Julie, you have a question for us. Welcome to the show, Julie.
Hi, thank you. My question is, I don't do sugar at all.
Good.
I didn't even do any Halloween candy.
me too.
It was tough.
Didn't even miss it.
Yeah. My question is, I am always constipated. When I'm not doing any sugar, I might go once a week, if that. And I'm wondering... What can I take? What can I add to my diet? I'm doing the fruits and vegetables. I'm doing, you know, the lean meats, everything, lots of protein. But I'm always constipated. And the one thing that I have found is if I have a day where I do have sugar, I go right away.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think Anna's got some great ideas for you. Anna?
Yes, and I have the same problem with you. If I eat white sugar, I have diarrhea like no other.
Yep.
So, but I don't want you doing that.
No.
The best thing that we use for constipation in our office, and that, you know, 62% of us are deficient in, is magnesium glycinate.
Okay.
Well, magnesium citrate, so a good form of magnesium citrate is what you want to be taking.
And can I get that at the co-op?
Yes, you can.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then also maybe looking at your intestinal tract too. I know you eat really well and you're not doing a lot of sugar, but there could be, you know, you might not have enough good bacteria to actually digest the food, and so it's building up in your system.
And what would I do for that?
I would get like a bifidobacteria, or, you know, acidophilus can also help as well, or yogurt. Yogurt has, plain whole fat yogurt has wonderful bacteria in it.
Okay.
As
and
well.
Then, you know, a couple of other ideas here is make sure you're drinking 8 to 10 glasses
yes.
of water.
Yeah, I do about a gallon a day.
Okay. And then are you eating cheese?
In extremely small amounts.
All right.
I've been trying to eliminate that to see if that was the cause.
So the magnesium citrate, maybe take one with every meal and a couple at bedtime. And I bet you will not have problems with constipation.
Fabulous. Thank you.
Well, thank you for the call.
It'll be a whole new day for her.
Yes. So, hi, Sarah. You have a question for us today? Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi. I was listening to you talk about protein, and I'm a vegetarian, and so I try and do a vegetarian supplement, I mean a protein supplement, at least once a day. And I'm wondering, some of them seem to have a higher content of sugar, so is there one you'd recommend? Like
go
a
ahead,
whey
Christina.
Protein? Or
yeah.
A,
will you do whey?
I do whey,
okay.
But I know there's whey, soy, all the alternatives.
Right. I would definitely recommend whey. Your body can absorb that, metabolize it. It's good for your metabolism, your brain health. You know, we think one of the best ones out there that you can get from a professional is called Paleo Meal, which if you're vegetarian, that might not be a bad idea. Otherwise, and it's we kind of consider it the Cadillac of protein powders.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I know some of the health food stores carry a brand called Biochem, and they make one that's 100% whey, doesn't have any sweeteners in it at all, and it's pretty natural. So it's Biochem 100% whey, or the Paleo Meal is a very, very high quality with some added benefits to it.
Great.
Okay.
All
right.
Much.
Well, thank you for the call. And we have to take a quick break here. So... you know, I think one of the things that people have to realize that a lack of sleep or poor quality of sleep is also associated with poor blood sugar control, and especially in people with type 2 diabetes. So we recommend 8 to 9 hours of sleep for better blood sugar control. So if you have questions for us today, 651-641-1071.
Welcome back. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and here's an interesting fact. The daily consumption of cola beverages is associated with decreased bone mineral density in the hips of older women. Phosphoric acid in the cola slowly leaches calcium out of your bones. So if you want to learn more about the effects of soda on your health or a number of other great nutritional things, take a nutrition class at your community education center. We are offering many classes in many different communities, and next week, we have foods to reduce inflammation, gut reaction, restore digestive health through nutrition. And Anna, you're teaching Jumpstart Your Metabolism in Osseo on Wednesday night.
That's right. I'd love to have you guys. So come on out.
Well, a lot of people turn out for that class. Mm-hmm. And we also, don't forget, we're teaching a 4-hour kid-friendly nutrition class next Saturday in Cottage Grove. And, you know, we're also teaching it where else?
Richfield, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And in Osseo in November, end of November.
Okay. And people keep asking us for this class, kid-friendly nutrition class. So look on our website. It's weightandwellness.com or call our office at 651-699-3438. And we'll give you all the kinds of details for that. So we have lots of callers, lots of people lined up here. So let's, Maren, welcome to the show. And you have a question for us today?
What's that?
You have a question for us today? Or
yes, I do.
Okay. Hi there. Welcome
Hi.
To the show.
Hi.
Hi.
My question for you today was I have just recently, about 3 weeks ago, quit having any sugar and also caffeine. But what I've been finding is I am eating so many more carbs, like I'm hungrier and replacing with more like snacking and crackers and popcorn. And do you have any suggestions on how to curb that and also maybe better things to be replacing that with?
Well, I think one of the things you have to look at, why do you initially have these sugar cravings, which are still, when you're doing carb cravings, you're still having sugar cravings. So, again, sometimes it goes back to your intestinal health, and we often talk about that in some of our classes. So So balancing out your intestinal health with maybe some bifidobacteria will take away that. And, you know, there's some other things, though. Let's talk about some other foods that Maren could replace with.
Right. I think getting food, the right kinds of foods in frequently enough, not letting yourself go too long without eating, but really trying to focus on pulling in some good protein and the healthy fat, because what the healthy fat will do is it's going to stabilize your blood sugar, and it's also going to give you that sense of satisfaction that the carbohydrates won't do for you.
And, you know, I think, Anna, you and I find that we have to have carbohydrates that are like, you know, maybe sweet potatoes mm-hmm. or a little carrot or parsnips,
squash.
You know, something like that. That kind of helps our blood sugar stay more stable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a lot of the green things, too,
mm-hmm.
but
uh-huh.
we also need a little bit of that other kind of carbohydrate, or maybe even a little bit of wild rice or white rice. And that, so then you're not going to the processed
mm-hmm.
things.
Okay.
Right. And all it's, and like Christina says, eating more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
your blood sugar doesn't drop on you.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you very much.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. So let's talk to, hi, Amy. You have a question for us today? Hello, Amy?
Oh, hi.
You've been you've been waiting for so long, you went to sleep.
Almost. I had a question regarding whole grains and carbohydrates and kind of the balance between the two. Like I heard y'all mention, you know, popcorn isn't necessarily a healthy snack because it's a carb, and I hear other sources say it's a good snack because it's a whole grain. I mean, you know, and whole grain breads and, you know, and you guys were talking about cereal also, and then I get other, you know, conflicting information.
Right. Well, you know, if you look at how many carbohydrates are in a food, and you have to kind of look at the number of carbohydrates that would be in popcorn or in oatmeal or in rice or any of those things. And the more fiber that carbohydrate has, the slower that it will be released into your bloodstream, so it will balance out blood sugar best.
Okay, so if it's high in fiber, then the carbohydrate isn't so bad.
That's right.
Like a brown
mm-hmm.
rice.
Yeah, or like
mm-hmm.
a wild rice is better.
Well, and the whole grain bread that I eat doesn't have any corn syrup in it.
Okay, and that should be good. And sometimes, you know, they might be fairly low in carbohydrate compared to some other kind of bread.
Right. I mean, yeah, right.
And, you know, so that's kind of what we look at. But we know that any kind of grain that's puffed up, like popcorn,
mm-hmm. sure.
will raise your blood sugar very fast.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
So that's why we are not high proponents of popcorn.
And it's
okay,
interesting.
Well, that's good to know, because I've been chowing on the popcorn thing.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of diabetics do, and it just makes their blood sugar go crazy. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And just in general, how many carbs should an average-size adult female be getting a day?
Well, probably about around 30 grams with your meals and about half of that at snacks.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that doesn't, you know, it's under 150 grams of carbohydrates, unless you're a runner or somebody
mm-hmm.
that is out exercising just a lot. Then you can burn up those carbohydrates faster so that they don't do damage to your body.
Okay, so you said about 30?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's great. I appreciate your help.
No problem.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Yep.
All right.
So should we take another caller? I guess
sure.
so. We'll just take another caller. Shirley, you have a question for us today? Welcome to the show. Shirley? Hello? Shirley? Hi there.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good.
I'm calling for a friend of mine that lives out of state. He is diabetic and has high cholesterol, taking medication for both. In relationship to the high cholesterol, he also has very low HDLs.
Mm-hmm.
And we had recommended to him, you know, coconut oil.
Right.
And he does not like the taste of oil, so he started taking coconut tablets. About 4,000 units, I guess. And I was just wondering if the coconut tablets have the same kind of beneficial results as your virgin coconut oil.
You know what? I don't know that one. Christina, do you know about coconut?
I haven't seen them.
I haven't seen of coconut tablets. You know, I think if his HDL is low, number one thing he needs to be taking is fish oil, mm-hmm. omega-3 fish oil.
Okay.
And he needs to be taking probably like at least 3 a day, if not 4 a day. And that's going to bring up his HDL and lower his LDL.
Okay.
So to me, that is really critical. Mm-hmm. So, and then also, you know, olive oil would be very important too. So maybe looking at it from that point of view, I don't know, do you guys have something else you want to add?
I think that's a good place to start. And I think it's common when people are on the cholesterol-lowering medications. Some people, it helps their HDL, but for a lot of people, their HDL does get low.
Okay.
So,
I know that taking the coconut oil, virgin coconut oil, even my own husband's HDLs has really, really gone up.
Oh, that's great. That's good. Great. Awesome.
And so, you know, we were thinking, too, that maybe that would help his, but... Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It sounds like maybe the tablets would not be doing the trick.
Well, we're not sure.
Yeah.
You know, we'd have to take a look at them.
Okay.
So they might be perfectly fine.
Okay.
But, okay, well, thanks for the question. That's lots of interesting questions. So,
right.
So it's time for a break. And, you know, everyone, you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and we'll be back in a minute.
If you're pre-diabetic, insulin-resistant, or diabetic, you know that managing your blood sugar requires careful attention to food choices and eating patterns. At times, it may even feel like a full-time job. Do cravings drive you to poor food choices to boost your blood sugar quickly? Would you like a simple, healthy eating plan? Nutritional Weight and Wellness has helped hundreds of clients successfully prevent and manage diabetes. Their clients have reported better fasting blood sugars and A1Cs, along with more energy and greater well-being. Following a balanced eating plan can also help avoid hearing and vision loss, impotence, and kidney failure that can result from high blood sugars. Nutritionists prepare individual food plans and explain what to eat and how frequently to eat to stabilize your blood sugar. Eating the right combination of foods diminishes cravings and increases metabolism, which helps with weight loss. Nutritional Weight and Wellness, 651-699-3438, or visit their website, weightandwellness.com, to learn more about classes or individual consultations. Their offices are located in both St. Paul and Wayzata.
They paved paradise and put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, diabetes is really a very serious disease, and normal blood sugar really should range between 70 and 95. So if yours is higher, you really are aging your cells faster than you really should be, which nobody wants to do. So knowing what to eat and when to eat for blood sugar control, it really is a science, and nutritionists understand that science, and we really can help you achieve better blood sugar control.
We can, and we do it every day. And we have a couple more callers, and we're going to try to... Hi, Jerry, you have a question for us. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I had a question about breakfast smoothies or fruit smoothies.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My kids like to eat them quite often, and I've heard mixed reviews about the types of protein powders to add to a smoothie. I've heard that soy maybe isn't quite a good choice.
That's right. We don't think that soy is a good choice. Whey protein, a good quality whey protein. You know, like we said before, our one that we have at our office is called Paleo Meal. That's a wonderful whey protein powder. Christina, the one out in the market again is
Biochem.
Biochem has a good whey protein.
Yeah, one that kids like is called Ultimate Protein, and it does have just a little bit of fructose in there, but that helps because we have people add plain yogurt to it too. So
Ultimate Protein.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we have them add a little bit of coconut milk, and that makes for a really good way to balance out your blood sugar. It's great. It's a great drink. It's a it's a wonderful breakfast smoothie.
The
like
recipe is
frozen fruit. Coconut milk, a protein powder that is made out of whey.
Yes.
And any type of like whole milk kefir or whole milk yogurt.
Yep. And the recipe is on our website.
Oh, it is?
Yep. Under our radio show link.
And can you explain amino acids? Are those proteins as well?
Those come from proteins, yes.
Because I saw a product that said it didn't have any whey or soy in it, but it was made with amino acids.
I would go with the whey.
Would go with the whey.
Yeah, thank you for the call. So, we're out of time.
Yeah.
And we thank everyone for listening today, and if you have questions about diabetes, you can always call our office. And remember, the magic within you is the food that you eat, the real food. Thank you for listening today.